Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Episode 17. In this installment, the village feels the impact of the hot pre-monsoonal winds. The wind arrived without any warning, blowing a jubilant yogi back from Garamukteshwara with his new bairagan, walking in, shaking off his coat of gasping dirt. His timing was not auspicious. Oh, not now, she thought. Madam felt gorilla hands rattling the window frame. It had no glass. Dry buffalo silt blew across her desk. She coughed and wrapped herself inside dupatta and rushed out, calling, "Aye, come inside, quickly, jaldi, jaldi." They were wrapping seating strips, the long thin tarts, and chasing after teachers' boards and easels blown off balance, along with textbooks taking wing. Children clutched their satchels, shepherded by teachers. Kumara, her number two, took full command in Hindi. Madam had no say. All sat on mud-packed earth to wait out the hour's holocaust. Durga ripped her calendar away like a prize kite from its nail. The killer winds were hot and sweaty hands. Newspapers gave out the daily death toll. This was the loo, hot arrow flows of air on weather charts that bring on the monsoon. Farmers hoped these winds that herald rains would come on time to boost the ragged height of sugarcane and running miles of wheat. From the Bay of Bengal, rushing from the sea, jet stream winds would jump the Himalayas, then cut and make a run for Central Asia. They would be stopped above the icy peaks and plateau by some more invader hands trying to reach and shake the Indian plains. So titans clash, the rivers of the air, they smash and punch and cool their raging natures. It would take weeks. The rains were forced to form, rising up as the mother of all bombs to drop her payload hard upon the earth. Hot wind ripped at the face like rough sandpaper and stuffed a gritty hand right down the throat. Hot breath choked and gagged them until they coughed. They wrapped cotton shawls across their mouths. They were the swallowers of the summer storms, the future host of bacteria and diseases, the sufferers of sunstroke, prickly heat and madness, the carriers of stalemate and defeat. Travellers stabbed their shoulders against the wind. The invisible mountain hammered them like tacks. Hot breath licked the dust onto their eyelids. They wheezed home and lay down with their fears. Counting his mala, Yogi stumbled at dawn up the sandy trail far off from the village. Crossing the rise, hammered by yesterday's sandstorm, he waded across the river towards his tapostan. He feared the worst, scanning up the hill between the grassy tussocks, and could not see the hut's familiar upright apex. He clambered on all fours like a slobbering retriever to the top of the rise where a kikar had sheltered with its crucifixion thorns the yogi's shrine of grass. Shiva's three-pronged trident was now face down in dirt, the water pot turned over, and the grass hut looked as if flattened underfoot between a giant's toes. Yoga had collapsed. The house of cards had fallen. It's over, he thought. He waded back through estuary, feeling stripped and exposed, bairagan on his shoulder, his new wooden armrest, support for meditation, like a weapon toted back from a lost war. Yogi found his madam at the school sweeping leaves. The teacher stood around with folded arms, a knot of cold alliance. Reginda lorded a stick above the head of young Atul. "Go over there. You missed a clump," he said. The schoolyard was a battleground enduring sandy blasts. Yogi tried to help, but felt quite useless. He looked around and saw a clutch of women ambling, hips aiming for the yard. They carried their steel dishes shaped like woks, while the buggy bumped onto compacted earth, hauling cow dung. Then the long rope jerked. The black bull snorted, halted. Without a word, women were piling dung into their dishes. A second buggy, bringing dug-up soil, had stopped inside the pump to drop its load. Women were mixing dirt, gober, water into a sticky pyramid, mashing it as if treading up and down a season's grapes. The little girls joined the women's work, taking dishes on their rough cloth quoits, loading up and dumping in all corners, a picture of the grandmothers they would be, smoothing putrid history. Khaki cake was spread out further across the distant epochs. The people and papaya trees were locked like islands in a sticky, fly-blown sea. It would dry hard and make a durable floor, designed to last until the coming rains. Yogi was standing back there with the boys and smiled, seeing his diligent wife at work. Margaret was also squatting down, up to her ears in the mud and cow shit life. An Indian shower, hand pump style, squatting on a slab, the fountain spout turned earthward, the stubby trunk of a baby elephant dribbling mucus. He cranked the lever for her bare neck, water cascaded, a cold rope trick of wet filament, scenes of valleys, birds, trees of jewels, mind-walking days and nights, visible, audible, with old souls she'd met in meditation or inside chanting. Loka hopping back in her bedroom. Innumerable paradises, pure lands, being reborn in a lotus bud until he splashed her face with the open book of hands, transported her back to mud, sweat and dung. She had been entranced, accessing the unseen aquifer, history's memory pool, underneath sand and clay, where stories and myths doused her head to toe. He pumped the handle in the private compound. He aroused her skin as she rose naked, turning to him, working up his hardness inside cotton shorts, pulled the drawstring, released his thrusting as she hiked her hips up off wet ground, gripping the palm tree of his lower trunk, pushing and opening so he could be reborn again inside a woman. Yes, clearly Yogi had some work to do. With the collapse of castles made of straw comes truth, she thought, although she would not say outright and crush his heart. The winds had punched and kicked him in the gut, but had they knocked sense into him? Calamities were a stab in the back of rural hope for clement weather. Now turbulent clouds hide the face of God. Tomorrow's flimsy roof must be restored. What would Yogi do? Return to the river? But Yogi followed Margot the next morning. She brought him to the school. "Now play the kids your song," she said. He settled on a hessian bag and sang a self-made tune for the Maha Mantra, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. He had learned with pale zealots in a gum tree ashram, busking his way across Australia. Now he sat with Krishna's kids and sang the chant, a charming switch that brought the song back home. He has a knack with kids, she thought, and maybe he could be led to teach. She looked ahead. Yogi became a hit with school kids after lunch. He chanted simple Sanskrit delivered in Aussie patois. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha, Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. They parroted back, singing out the tune. Ganesha Sharanam, Sharanam Ganesha. To the elephant, surrender to Ganesha. Squirrels ran up and down the tree trunk where he sat, and minor birds were busy keeping tabs on bugs, while out on the fields where the tractor had just ploughed, the herons stepped and stabbed into the sandy land with beaks like needles, darning strings of writhing worms. She raised her ears and eyes. His voice was a bird and a buffalo, the twitter of crimson claws. Boys raised bhangra hands to the sky. Pink ribbons jingled on girls' plaits. His voice rattled people leaves. His fingers squeaked on the strings. The guitar supported the voices. Palms clapped with happy static. A deep pulse tolled head to head. Finger cymbals set off echoes. Now the voice became a river flowing through ether, the Akash. Song rode the back of power, and swallows snipped their flight trails with their own scissor tails. His voice became a tall tale taken home. White Yogi with a guitar and happy clapping passed around, the god chants kept repeating. Celebrity swelled weakly to a crowd that gathered in the mandir, where the bells rang each time a parent came to offer fruit or sweet rice, a flower, then sat down to join the swelling sea of Hare Ram. A drummer brought his expert dholak fingers, and a line of ladies chimed their finger cymbals as Yogi led the chant and added English. It sat awkward on reluctant rustic tongues, while foreign madam clapped on at the back. Fame spread far, while Yogi kept on singing A to Z in school beneath the wish tree. The alphabet song would rise and fall until strumming stopped. He'd sign language to their giggles, then start off again. They followed his song lines beyond letters into words. Soon they were trading Hindi, apple for Saib, rice for paddy field. Mandarin was Mosami, banana became Kela, a conga line made elephant, a hati. A yogi with kids in tow now trumpeting elephant-wise, each with an arm raised up to be the trunk, while just behind, Atul clapped the hairy halves of a coconut. Overbrimming with curriculum, she wiped clean the office desk of mouse dirt and listened through the window with no glass as he freestyled out there beneath the tree. She was glad to let her barked-out voice rest up, although she'd have to whistle him along with pedagogy's lesson plan or two. He had great entertainment value, but would motor down, or they would, sooner or later. A teacher needed more in the bag of tricks to do her sleight of hand to pass the ace before the god of structure rang the bell. And then it hit her, sitting on the throne of her flat metal chair, biting at her hip bone. Yogi was good with kids, although not her own. For all that Adelaide time and hard travelling alone, they hadn't let him in and did their spoilt moan to Papa, their howitzer, first chance on the phone. He'd fired back at her, his rain of shrapnel blown, even though he had left her for that sharp-nosed clone of a wife who had stolen her Frenchman. She would atone one day for husband theft. All was on short-term loan. She voiced sharper feelings to herself, then realized she shouldn't speak at all. Margot was a free gecko on the shelf, while Yogi was a snail struggling to crawl. For now, he had song's aura and could wow a crowd of devotees and do childcare. In this place of wheatfield set to plough, he might grow up to speak truth as hot air. A message came from Barhai through the mail. We have slight problem. Come see me, Yogi Ji. The Maha Kirtan Mandal could derail. We need your photo for publicity. Fans were closing ranks. Was he the star? A claim would fool through each short love affair. She closed her eyes and saw the town bazaar, and beyond, her singer with his hot guitar. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another episode.